blessed in the day on repentance, and I appreciate all these guys that teach and preach. I was listening. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of things today that is said this preaching is not real preaching. I think about what Paul said in 2 Timothy. He said, preach the word. What you have today, you have a lot of traditions being taught and preached. You have the ideas of men, what they think that you ought to. And it boils down to, like Jeremiah said, that they worship the Lord out of the imagination of their own hearts, their own minds. I want to talk to you about something about Paul. And it's sort of like a continuation of last week when we talked about sound doctrine. And that this sound doctrine is the sound words. It's that doctrine that is healthy for you. And Jesus Christ, we saw that he taught doctrine. The apostles had their doctrine, and that doctrine was the doctrine of the kingdom. And that doctrine, although it is good doctrine, it is true, it wouldn't be healthy for you in the dispensation of grace. And you could not grow properly and be into a full-grown man in the Lord, that full-age Son of God, if you stayed on that doctrine. It would be like you have children, and all you fed them was milk or juice, and they get older, but you kept them on that liquid diet. That would not be healthy. And yet there are multitudes and multitudes of believers today that are being fed from unhealthy doctrine that has to do with the kingdom. And so I want to talk to you about something. I want you to turn, first of all, in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, I have a real chest cold. I've had it this week, so I hope my voice will hang in there. And if it don't, well, we'll just have to go. But anyway, 2 Timothy, notice in chapter 1. Notice down in verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Now I want you to notice, and this verse is very familiar. Of course, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the committed unto him against that day. I mean, that Paul's salvation, and that's what we talk about as committing our salvation, our eternal destination, over to the Lord. It's in his hands. And if what the Lord didn't do, if he didn't do enough to save us, then there's nothing we can do. And so, but I want you to notice what he said, for I know whom I have believed. Well, it's obvious that there's something that the Lord told Paul that he had to believe. Notice back in verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Then whatever, I'm interested in the testimony of the Lord. Whatever the testimony of the Lord was, the Lord testified to the Apostle Paul, and Paul believed it. And he committed himself because of the testimony. He committed it himself, his soul, spirit, eternal destination, based upon that testimony that he believed. He committed it to the Lord. Do y'all understand? Something caused Paul to commit to the Lord, and something was spoke to Paul that Paul believed. And I want to talk to you about that. He said there, I believe that Paul was preached to. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ testified to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. But I also look back in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And just try to lay a little groundwork here. Galatians chapter 1. And in the context, before we read in Galatians 1, back in verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, where we was at, he said, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Well, then I know the testimony of the Lord has to do with the gospel. Look in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, and you could say of man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right, then that gospel that Paul preached, he never got it from man. He never received it of man. How did he get it? By revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ revealed to the Apostle Paul that good news, that gospel, whereby you're saved. He didn't reveal it to Peter. He didn't reveal it to John. He revealed it to Paul, and he testified to the Apostle Paul. Now, what did Paul believe? He believed the testimony of the Lord. Number one, he believed that Jesus Christ died for all his sins. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, believing in vain would be like believing without a cause. No reason to believe, you just believe. You ain't got a reason. But believing in vain also, look in verse, come down to verse 13. Let's read verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. So what, believing in vain would not only believe without a cause, but it would be believing the wrong thing. There was people who didn't believe in the resurrection. There's people today that feel pulpits across this nation that do not believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Are they believing in vain? You've got to believe the right thing. If you believe the wrong thing, you're believing in vain. What is the right thing? It got, Paul gives it to them. If a man got up here this morning and he preached that you must be baptized for remission of sins, if, and you've got to be get into the water to have your sins washed away, and you believed that, and you were baptized to wash away your sins, would your faith be in vain in that? You would be believing in vain. Paul goes on, verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also what? Received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. That he was buried and that he arose again the third day according to the Scripture. Then here's, that's the good news. That is the gospel. The testimony of the Lord that Jesus Christ testified to Paul was that Jesus Christ had died for all his sins. Look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What is the power of God unto salvation? Be the gospel of Christ, wouldn't it? Look in 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Now folks, this is very important. There's people who don't know what the gospel is, and they go to church, three times a week, and they don't know what they're believing. They're believing in vain. And how can you commit your soul and your eternal destiny, whether the lake of fire or eternal life, how can you commit to something if you don't know what it is? You ask people, are you saved? I hope I am. People say, well, I believe you can be saved today and lose it tomorrow. Those people do not have the assurance of life. Those people do not believe that they have eternal life. They're hoping and they're trying to endure unto the end. Their faith is in vain. They're not committing themselves to the Lord in the work that he done. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. Anybody? Well, let's just go on. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. You know what the gospel is? I just read it to you. The gospel is not being good and having to do the golden rule. The gospel is not being baptized for the remission of sins. What is the gospel? It's the gospel that Paul received. That gospel that Paul receives, the power of God unto salvation. That gospel is the only way to get saved today in the dispensation of grace. What is that gospel? It's that Christ died for your sins. All of your sins. You say, well, what about my future sins? Bless your heart, when he died for all of them was future. You wasn't back there at AD 33. And your sins was put upon him. And he died for all of your sins. And if you're in Christ, your identity has changed, and that old man is dead. The man that you was is dead as far as God is concerned. Say, well, I'll live like I want to. You're going to do that anyway. There ain't none of us in here worth the gunpowder take to blow us into hell, no matter how good we think we are. Every one of Bible said he needs a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior, and he went to that cross and he died for you, and that's what we, this world needs to commit to. Not our works, but his work that he did on the cross. Look in verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. There it is. They don't believe it, so when they don't believe it, he blinds them. What to keep you from getting blinded? Believe it. You know why I know I'm saved? Because, bless your heart, he said if I believe on him, he'd save me. I love that John 6:37. All that the Father shall give me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. When did you ever come to the Lord for salvation? I'm talking about real salvation. I'm talking about knowing you're lost, knowing that you're no good, knowing that if you died today, you'd fall off into hell and be screaming in hell before the sun went down. I'm talking in that kind of condition. Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself, and I want to be saved. And you came like that, and you called upon him. When'd you ever do that anyway? Well, I bet there's, I'm talking to some people in here, you've never done that. There ain't a time in your life where you can go back and think about, when did I ever trust Jesus Christ as my Savior? When did I ever, as a sinner, as a low-down, sorry, good-for-nothing sinner, having no hope, and I simply committed my soul unto him in the work that he did. Believe that Jesus Christ died for his sins. Verse 4 said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which are not baptized. Oh, not join the church, no. Believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And folks, that's what the gospel does. Whenever people get saved, it's like a light goes on. Hey, it's nothing I've done. It's nothing that I can do. He's did it all. Wow! I'm saved because of what he did. Paul believed the testimony of the Lord. He not only believed that Jesus Christ had died for all of his sins, and you'd be surprised if people don't believe that. Most people believe that from the time you're born to the time you get saved, let's say you trust Christ, and you're saved right here at this point in your life, all of these sins in here are took care of. But from the time you get saved to the time you die in here, you've got to confess these sins. And they use 1 John 1:9. Turn to 1 John 1:9. And look in 1 John 1:9. Now I want you to realize that every positive has a negative. Look at 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, the first thing we find here, to get forgiveness, you got to what? little light from the class. My throat's closed, so I'm just going to... Huh? Well, now, what if he didn't confess? Would he forgive you? According to the verse, would he forgive you? Well, what happens if your sins don't get forgiven? What's the wages of sin? Death. How many sins does it take to bring about death? You're in a heap of trouble, wouldn't you? Let's look at what sin is. Look over in chapter 3. Chapter 3. Verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Look with me in chapter 5. 1 John 5:17. All unrighteousness is what? And there is a sin not unto death, but all unrighteousness sin. What's unrighteousness? Transgression of the law. Right? Well, look in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And notice in verse 15. Romans chapter 4, verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no what? If there's no law, is there transgression? Do like it. Look in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Now we're coming back to Romans, but look in Colossians chapter 2. So hang on to Romans there. I should have told you before then. But in Colossians chapter 2, notice in verse... I'm just going to go and I'm going to say verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you how many trespasses? All. How can he do that? Verse 4, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Where is the law? It was nailed to the cross, was it not? When Jesus Christ, the law put him to death. Look back in Romans. Romans. And notice in verse 4. Romans 7, verse 4. Romans 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become what? Dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married, joined to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto sin. Our God. Notice down verse 7. All right, let's read verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the latter, the law. What shall I say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And folks, he goes on talking about sin dwelling in him. The law magnifies sin. I know I'm a sinner because of the law. I can't keep the law. Bless your heart, nobody could. I am a transgressor of the law. So Jesus Christ came. He kept the law. He kept it perfect. And he's the perfect sacrifice. And so the law put him to death. He died on that cross. When he died on that cross, I died with him. He was buried in the tomb. And they put him in there. They buried me with him. I died with him. I'm buried with him. And when he arose, I arose with him. Don't you get it? I'm in Christ. I'm dead to the law. The law can't do no more to me than what it's already done to me in Christ. My sins, confess my sins to get forgiveness when I've done died, I've done been buried, I've done been raised from the dead in Christ. I'm in Christ. Amen. Now that ought to get your butter churning. That was committed to Paul. Paul committed himself to that. I know whom I have believed. Jesus Christ gave that to Paul. And I'm complete in him. Now what about those people that confess? Well, they gotta confess. You see, folks, there's a day of coming. And right now, the Lord is putting together a body. And that body's called the body of Christ. And here's Christ's body's over here. And it's made up of sinners saved by the grace of God that don't even know how to repent. As Robbie was talking about, Paul never repented. And this is the body of Christ that has already died for sin. People don't never get a grip on that. No wonder Paul said, I glory in the cross of Christ. Paul believed that he died. And one of these days over here, you have here the little flock in here. You have Paul in Acts 9 getting saved, and the body of Christ in me first. One day that body's going to be full. And when that body's complete, we're out of here. That's the only thing is waiting on. We're not waiting on another sign. We're not waiting on Jack Van Impe to find something else that he can say this is another sign. You know what we're waiting on? We're waiting for that last sinner to be saved by the grace of God. And when that takes place, we're out of here. When that body's complete, we're gone. Then you'll find the man of sin over here, and he's called the Antichrist. That man will be revealed. I got 3.5 years on this side and 3.5 years on that side, and this is called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's the tribulation as we know it, when God's going to speak to this world in his wrath. Right now, God is speaking to you in grace. And right now, God is giving you aid.
Right now, God is trying, if you're in here lost, I don't care how religion you are, I don't care what your life is, I don't care, I don't need to know that. People say, well, I'm too bad. You can't get so bad, God can't save you. You can't be so good that He's going to just let you slip in either. Then Jesus Christ is coming over here at the second coming of Christ. And I have in here, I'm going to say Hebrews through Revelation, Romans through Philemon, what God's doing today, the book of Acts in here of the apostles, and you have Matthew back here through John, the forming of that little flock, the teaching of them 12 to go unto the nation Israel and call them out of people for His name, the sheep, the lost sheep of Jeremiah. You can read about them in Jeremiah, in Ezekiel, where He's going to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel that had been scattered by the pastors and those religious leaders that rejected the counsel of God, and it was all that in idolatry. And so John shows up and he's calling out a people for Him, and the little flocks form, and that's the new nation of Israel, and that new nation will be completed over here, and the 144,000, but it ain't got nothing to do with you. Listen, they get their sins took out when? Second coming is sins is done away with over here. Done away. I don't know why it's done. Second coming, blot it out. When He comes, they've got to get to that point when the fountain is opened up. How do they do it? They confess. They always are confessing. And He's faithful and just. Why? In view of the fact of what He did back here. But you're dead to the law. You're in the body of Christ. You're a son of God. Your identity has changed. You're not the old man. And you've risen with Christ. You know something else? Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Notice what He said in verse 1. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Look down verse 5. Well, let's read verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Well, when was Christ quickened? Right here, wasn't He? Quickened is to brought light back alive. Quickened. Look what He said. Us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in where? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Come down to verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God's will for you is being in Christ, being in the body of Christ, is to show forth good works, to demonstrate His grace, and to realize, hey, I'm saved by the grace of God, based upon the fall. That's the revelation that God gave to Paul concerning the gospel. Listen, Paul believed that Christ died for all of his sins. They were all paid for. He was dead to the law. And a dead man can't keep no law. You live in Christ. Now the law ain't sin. The law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Sound doctrine. Paul believed the righteousness of God is by the faith of Christ. Look in Romans, and I'm going to close. But look in Romans chapter 3.
I'm sort of like Paul was in Philippians chapter 3. Halfway through the book, he said, finally, brethren. He went on, he was just half done. So, finally, look in there. Paul believed in Romans chapter 3, the righteousness, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that what? Believe. For there is no difference. What about the faith of Christ? How do I get? This is the righteousness. You see, folks, my faith might fail someday. I might get to the point that I quit believing. But his faith will never fail. Look in Ephesians chapter 2 again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that, the faith, not of yourselves, is a gift of God. You know the grace and the faith in that verse is a gift of God, and it has nothing to do with you. Not of works, verse 8, 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Look in chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6. The armor. Verse 15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Notice back in, turn over to Philippians chapter 3, just a few pages. Philippians chapter 3. His faith is the shield of faith. Your faith, the devil can shoot holes in it. You can get to where you quit believing, and there are multitudes of hell. You can get so that you might one day stop believing. Like my dad had Alzheimer's. He died of Alzheimer's. There was a time in my dad's life he didn't even know nobody. But I believe he was saved. Your faith is not what keeps you saved. It's his faith. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Notice in verse 9, and being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. How's that of the law? Well, he offered the sacrifices that the law told him to offer whenever he'd do wrong. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, and that faith is his faith. Jesus Christ died in faith. You see, folks, he's the first that's ever been raised from death. Now, he died. Life went out of him, and Acts 2 says his soul was in hell for you. And he's in hell, and there he is, and he died in faith, believing that God would forgive the sin that brought about his death. And it's as though he stepped right off into death, trusting the Father. You couldn't do that. That's the faith. Paul believed the righteousness of God is by the faith of Christ. Look, while you're there close by, turn over to Galatians and look in Galatians. Notice Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, notice in verse 6. Galatians 2:6. And folks, I believe I give you a wrong word. Let me 2:20. I'm sorry. Galatians 2:20. Now in verse 19 he talks about through the law. He said, I am dead to the law, that I may live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's his faith. Paul would not only believe that Christ had died for all of his sins, he believed the righteousness of God is by the faith of Christ. He believed that salvation was not by the righteousness of the law, but by grace. We done read the passage in Ephesians 2:8. Paul believed that we were saved from God's wrath. And you know, the testimony of the Lord would have no end. Look with me while you close. Just turn over to Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, go to your right a few pages. Notice in chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And by the way, you want to know where the testimony of the Lord is? Right there. You can read it. Them 13 books. First Thessalonians 1, verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's their work of faith, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered, already happened, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Look in chapter 5, in Thessalonians chapter 5, notice in verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. That's not your faith, that's his faith. And love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I thought they was already saved. How they have? That's not the salvation, soul salvation. That's bodily salvation. That's being delivered from this present evil world. Look back in Romans chapter 8. Notice what he said in verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why do he yet hope for it? Well, what is he talking about? The hope, the redemption of our body. And he says in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. The day of redemption is when he comes down here, we go up, we have our vile bodies changed like unto his glorious body. That is our hope. That when we're adopted as a full-grown son of Almighty God and be conformed to the image of his Son, we're going to have the same position as Jesus Christ. And Paul said, we walk not by faith, but by sight. That's the only place he said that. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it has to do with you getting a new body. And that tabernacle, that house is in the heavens out there, already there. And I believe when people go to be with the Lord, they go up there and they enter that body that they're going to wake up in, as we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And folks, that's our hope. And that's what we walk by faith waiting on. Do you ever stop when he said we walk by faith and not by sight? Look at that in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice what he said in verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Tell me something. Are you absent from the Lord right now? I'm in the presence of the Lord. Well, how do you get in the presence of the Lord? Verse 8. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. How are you going to get present with the Lord? How are you going to get in His presence? Is He going to let that old stinking rotten flesh get in His presence? Huh? No, He's not. Look at this thing. Look back with me in verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Where is that house at? Huh? You that are in Christ. Now, if you ain't in Christ, forget it. You ain't going nowhere but down. You're going to go into death and hell. And everything. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you're in Christ. Amen? Do you have a house? Is it eternal? Is it in heaven? If you could get to where God is today, could you find a house up there, a body, a tabernacle with your name on it? Notice what he said, verse 2. For in this we grow, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, without just no body at all. So when people die, and their spirit and soul go back to the Lord, that if they're in Christ, are they naked? If they're not naked, then they have to be clothed, right? Well, what in the world is God going to clothe them with? Y'all not believe in the book. What is your desire? Desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon. In other words, we don't want to die to be unclothed from this tabernacle. We're not desiring to die. But we're designed to be clothed upon, changed. Folks, he's talking about the rapture. And he comes on down and he said, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now think about it. Here's a man that an angel stood by him and talked to him. You ever had an angel stand by you and talk to you and you knew it was the angel of the Lord? Here's a man that was caught up in the paradise and heard all things that was unspeakable to hear, unlawful for a man to hear. You ever done that? What in the world, Paul? Here's a man that had seen the resurrected Lord, and you telling me we walk by faith and not by sight? He's talking about that day when the full adoption has happened and the coming of, and we're changed and we're conformed to the image of His Son. That hadn't happened to Paul yet. He's waiting in faith just like we are. That's where our faith is. We know whom we have believed. Jesus Christ testified it is going to happen. I believe it. I preach it. I stand on it. That's where my faith is. I'm saved from the wrath to come, and we believe that we'll be delivered and caught up in the glory. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with Him in glory. The testimony of the Lord. When Paul says, I know whom I have believed, Jesus Christ had preached to him. He believed he was saved from the evil world, be delivered, he'd be raptured out. And you know something, that rapture, Paul, I believe that, you know, he's the only one that's ever been raptured twice. He was raptured once in Acts chapter 14. He said he was caught up. He laid there and he died. And I know probably this probably go out and I probably might hear something, all you go and speculate. But I believe when a Christian dies, they experience the rapture. He said he was caught up on the third heaven and heard things unlawful, not seen, heard. I find where they stoned him and he's laid there and the disciples was gathered around him and left him for dead. The man died. I believe that when people die in the dispensation of grace, they experience the rapture. And time ceases for them. They're caught up. Just like we're going to be caught up in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. And when the Lord comes, the second time He's going to bring them, and we're going to be caught up. Now folks, that rapture is going to take place so quick, it's faster than you can blink your eyes. It's not that, oh my goodness, there the saints go. We'll see you later. Okay. Hey, there's mom, there's dad. I'll be on. And then when they get out of sight, then here we go. Oh, yeah. It's going to be faster. In other words, when they wake up in their new bodies, you'll be there with them. And we'll all meet the Lord the same time. And we'll all experience the rapture. And you say, hey, Papa, how was it dead? It's dead. I was raptured. The last thing he was going to know was being raptured out. Don't you see time stops for him? And when the Lord wakes him up, it'll be in time again. And in all that space in between, it'll be as nothing. They have not experienced death. I don't care what Dr. Snodgrass says about it. I believe this book. And I believe that's what it's about. Well, if you're saved, you can go. If you're not, then you won't hope.